Vishvamitra and the two princes spent the night on the bank of the river Sarayu. Before retiring, Vishvamitra initiated the princes in two secret mantras or invocations, Bala and Atibala, which had the virtue of guarding them from fatigue and harm. They slept on the verdant bank that night, and rising at dawn, proceeded on their journey. They reached Kama Ashram in Angadesh. After presenting the princes to the sages there, Vishvamitra recounted to them the history of the ashram. This, he said, is the place where Lord Shiva was long engaged in austerities. It was here that the foolish god of love, Kama, aimed his arrow at Shiva and was turned to ashes by his wrath. Hence the place is known as Kama Ashram. They were guests of the rishis or sages that night, and the following morning, after performing the usual rites, the sage and his pupil set out on their journey and reached the Ganges. They crossed the river on a raft got ready for them by the rishis. In midstream, the princes heard a noise and asked Vishvamitra what it could be. He explained to them that it was the sound of the Sarayu flowing into the Ganges. The princes paid silent homage to the confluence of the two holy rivers. Having crossed the Ganges, Vishvamitra and the princes made their difficult way through a dense forest made dreadful by the reverberating roar of wild beasts. This, Vishvamitra said, is the Dandak Forest. What is now a terrible forest was once a well-peopled country. Once upon a time, Indra, the king of the gods, was contaminated by sin, having killed Vritra, and had therefore to exile himself from the world of the devas or demigods. The devas set to themselves the task of cleansing Indra. They brought waters from the sacred rivers and bathed him to the accompaniment of mantras. The waters which cleansed Indra flowed into the ground and enriched the earth, and the land became tremendously fertile. For a long time, people lived happily till Tathaka and her son Marich wrought havoc and change this into the dreadful wilderness it now is. They are still in this forest, and none dare enter it for fear of Tathaka. She is equal in strength to a score of elephants. I have brought you here to rid the forest of this great enemy. There is no doubt that this Yaksha monster, who is a source of trouble to the sages, will be destroyed by you. Ram, who listened to this, asked the sage, "You say she is a yaksha, that low form of celestial beings. I have never heard that yakshas are particularly strong. What is more, how does a woman happen to possess so much strength?" Vishvamitra replied, "You are asking a very pertinent question. Her strength comes from a boon granted by Brahma. There lived a yaksha by name Suketu. Having no progeny, he performed austerities and won a boon from Brahma thus. You will have a beautiful daughter of great strength of body, but you will have no son." Suketu's daughter, Tathaka, beautiful and strong, was married to Sunda, a yaksha, and their child is Marich. Sunda at one time incurred sage Agastya's curse and died. Provoked by this, Tathaka and Marich pounced on Agastya, who cursed them to be monsters living on the carcasses of men. So Tathaka is now an ugly monster. Thenceforward, she and Marich have been harassing the dwellers in this region of Agastya. Do not hesitate to destroy her on the ground that it is against warrior ethics to kill a woman. Her atrocities are intolerable. To punish the wicked, whether male or female, is the duty of kings. It is right to kill her as to kill a wild animal for the sake of human society. This is the duty cast on rulers. Many women have been punished with death for their crimes. Hence, do not hesitate. Ram said to Vishvamitra, "Our father's behest is that we should obey you without question. Bidden by you and for the general welfare, we shall kill Tathaka." So saying, he strung his bow and twanged it till the forest echoed to its shrill note, and the wild animals scattered in all directions in terror. It reached Tataka in her stronghold, filling her with amazement at the audacious intruder who dared enter her domain. Raging with anger, she ran in the direction whence the sound came and sprang on Ram. The battle began. The prince at first thought of cutting off the limbs of the monster and sparing her life. But Tataka attacked fiercely, and rising in the sky, she rained stones on Ram and Lakshman. The two princes defended themselves against the attack. The fight continued, and Vishvamitra cautioned Ram against delay in dealing the death blow to the monster. "She deserves no sympathy," he said. "The sun is about to set, and remember that at night, Rakshasas grow stronger. Do not delay to slay her." Thus advised, Ram decided on killing Tataka, and pierced her chest with a deadly arrow, and the huge, ugly monster fell down lifeless. The devas cheered, and Vishvamitra, filled with joy, embraced Ram and blessed him. With Tataka's end, the forest was freed from the curse and became beautiful to see. The princes spent the night there, and next morning they proceeded to Vishvamitra's ashram. At dawn the next day, Vishvamitra called Ram to his side, and blessing him said, "I am very happy indeed. What is it that I can do in return for all that you have done? I shall teach you the use of all the astras or divine weapons." So saying, Vishvamitra gave Ramchandra the divine astras, which he had obtained through his austerities. Vishvamitra taught Ram the use, control, and recall of the various divine weapons, and Ram, in his turn, imparted the knowledge to Lakshman. As they continued the journey, Ram pointed to a big hill with a lovely forest on its slopes and asked, "Is that the place whereto we have to go? And who are the evil ones who hinder your yajna? And what should I do to destroy them?" Ramchandra was eager to fight and win the blessings of the sage. "That is the place we are going to," replied Vishvamitra. There the Lord Narayan performed austerities, and it was there that he was born as Vaman. It goes by the name of Siddha Ashram. This is its story. Bali, son of Virochan, and grandson of Prahlad, the great devotee, was such a powerful ruler that of him even the devas were afraid. Bali had, by his deeds, acquired the power of Indra himself. He belonged to the race of the Asuras or demons. Kashyap and his spouse Aditi, of whom all the gods were offsprings, prayed to Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and begged him to be born as their son and protect Indra and the devas from Bali. In answer to their prayers, Vishnu was born of Aditi as Vaman. Vaman, in the form of a young student, went to the sacrifice that was being performed by Bali, and where all were welcome to ask for and receive anything they wanted. When Vaman presented himself as a suitor, Bali's guru, Sukracharya, the preceptor of all the asuras or demons, knew who he really was. So he warned Bali against promising to grant the young Brahmin his request, that indeed he was Lord Vishnu in disguise, come to undo him. Bali did not pay heed to this. It was his practice never to turn down a request. Besides, he was at heart a devotee of the Lord, and felt that he would indeed be blessed if the Lord should deign to accept a gift from him. With a smile, Bali bade him ask for what he pleased, without hesitation. "All I have is at your disposal, money, jewels, the wide earth, and all it inherits." Vaman answered that the wealth was of no use to him, and all he begged for was 3 paces of ground, as paced by him. The monarch smiled as he looked at the diminutive student's legs and said, "So be it. Pace and take it." the little Brahmin suddenly grew in size, and with one step measured the earth, and with another the entire heavens. And there being no room left for the third step that had been granted, he set his foot on Bali's devoted head. And Bali, whose head was blessed by the touch of Brahmin's foot, became one of the seven immortals of the world. After narrating the story of Bali, Vishvamitra added, "This is where at first Narayan and later Kashyap performed tapas or austerity, resulting in the incarnation of God as Brahmin. In this holy place I live, and here the Rakshasas come and obstruct our worship and our austerities. Your coming here is to end this evil." "So be it," said Ram. The arrival of Vishvamitra and the two princes was a signal for rejoicing at the ashram. The rishis offered water and fruits, according to custom. Ram told Vishvamitra that he could begin the preparations for his yajna immediately, and Vishvamitra took the vows that very night. Getting up very early the next morning, the princes went to Vishvamitra and asked when the Rakshasas were expected, so that they might hold themselves in readiness to receive them. Vishvamitra was under a vow of silence and could not answer, but the rishis, his juniors, told the princes that they should be constantly vigilant for 6 nights and days to safeguard the sacrifice. The princes, fully armed, kept vigil for 6 days and nights. On the morning of the 6th day, Ram told Lakshman, "Brother, now is the time for the enemies to come. Let us be wary." Even as he was saying this, flames shot up from the sacrificial fire, for Agni, the god of fire, knew that the Rakshasas had arrived. As the rites were being performed, there was heard from the sky a great roar. Ram looked up and saw Marich, Subahu, and their followers preparing to shower unclean things on the sacrificial fire. The army of Rakshasas covered the sky like a great black cloud. Ram said, "Look, Lakshman!" And he shot an arrow, the Manavastra weapon, at Marich. As was intended, it did not kill Marich, but, wrapping him up in resistless force, hurled him a full 900 miles near the sea. With the Agnyastra, or fire weapon, Ram killed Subahu, and then the two princes utterly destroyed the entire army of Rakshasas. The sky was bright again. Vishvamitra was supremely happy at the completion of his sacrifice. "I am grateful to King Dasarath," he said. "You have fulfilled the promise, princes. I admire your fortitude. This ashram has, through you, become again a scene of success." The next day, Ram and Lakshman, after their morning prayers, went to Vishvamitra and asked for further orders. The purpose of Ram's birth was not unknown to sage Vishvamitra, and he knew too the powers of the weapons he had given to Ram. Still, the actual fact when experienced is something more than expectation. Sage Vishvamitra was happy beyond words, and his face glowed like a flame. He then thought of the service that he still had to do for Ram. This was the prince's marriage with Sita. The seers assembled there said to Ram, "We intend proceeding to the kingdom of Videha, where in the capital city of Mithila, the illustrious philosopher king, Janak, intends to perform a great sacrifice. All of us are going there, and it will be good if you and your brother accompany us. It is fitting and proper that the prince of Ayodhya should see the marvelous bow in the court of Janak." So it was decided, and Ram and Lakshman went with Vishvamitra to Janak's city.